It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with our European correspondent, Karan.
Hello, guys.
Firstly, Karan, since we last met, major life changes have happened.
Yes, yes.
So Karan got married exactly a week to the day. So congratulations, Karan, from
thank you.
Soccer Sense family and the listeners of Soccer Sense.
Thank you.
The
thank you very much.
Entire 1 dozen of them.
Hey, we still have more fans than Manchester City.
All right. And of course, since you are our European correspondent, you are here to talk matters European, which is the Champions League, which kicks off in 3 days' time as we record. This is our preview episode, and we have quite a lot to look forward to in this year's Champions League, because once again, just like last season, all the three Soccer Sense teams are in there. Amazingly, two of them in the same group. Damn it! So this is going to be an interesting season to look out for in terms of the Champions League fixtures. We all know what has happened in the last 3 years. There has been a Soccer Sense team in the final every single time.
Yes.
And has finished runners up.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes.
We talk, of course, of Juventus and Liverpool. But that aside, Karan, let's get into the 2018-19 season. And we go by the groups. Let's begin at Group A, a group that you were saying is kind of underrated because a lot of people have not looked at it closely enough. Atletico Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, Club Brugge, and Monaco.
Yeah, I think this is when the group fixtures were initially announced. Nobody, like you mentioned, you know, paid much attention to this particular group because of some of the other, you know, more renowned clashes that might come about later on. But I think this is a very evenly matched group. Dortmund and Atletico, their pedigree is pretty obvious to everyone in recent seasons. Monaco have really improved a lot over the last 3-4 years, and they have this knack of always producing some real gems, you know, from not just the youth academy, but always, you know, always also in terms of the kind of signings that they make. So I think it will be a battle between these three teams to see who finishes top two in this group. I think Atletico Madrid have unfinished business with the Champions League because it was a very disappointing campaign that they had last year around. They're a better team than what they showed last year. So they definitely have something to prove. But having said all that, trips to Club Brugge are not easy. They are quite difficult, especially for teams who have to maybe, you know, visit Bruges somewhere in November, December during winter. It's quite a task.
I mean, so. You're right. Trips to Bruges are definitely not easy. Just ask Colin Farrell. We move on to Group B. Karan, Group B looks fairly straightforward, but this is Barcelona, PSV Eindhoven, Tottenham, and Inter.
Yep.
Or as you put it, Barcelona and the rest of the UEFA Europa League teams.
Pretty much. I think it's pretty obvious who's going to finish top here.
Surely Barcelona favourites to top this. But how do you see the rest of it shaping up? For example, Inter clash with Tottenham in one of the opening games.
Yes. I think it's going to be a
pretty... Tottenham's group to lose in terms of the second qualifying spot.
Well, if you go by recent pedigree, you could say that on paper, ideally, it should be Tottenham's group to lose again. Pretty obvious, like we mentioned, who's going to finish top, unless there is some major, you know, shift in the universe's logics. But having said that, I think with Inter Milan, you just never know what you're going to get. I mean, they could put in a scintillating performance against, say, for example, a Real Madrid or a Barcelona for that matter, 1 week, and the very next week go and lose to probably a promoted side like Parma, like they did last night. So,
right, and so last night Inter lost to Parma 1-0. You know, in terms of any group with Barcelona and in a UEFA competition, you basically have to paraphrase Dr. Martin Luther King that the moral arc of European football might be long, but it basically just keeps bending towards Barcelona. So it's hard to look past them.
I think that the key over here is going to be, other than Barcelona, with the other three teams, the one that kind of screws up the least is probably going to be the one finishing second.
All right, and we get to Group C, which is amazingly intriguing because it has Liverpool, it has PSG, it has Napoli, and of course, it has Red Star Belgrade. So, some Eastern European representation there. So, Karan, let's try to break this group down. Slightly more objectively than I would. I was, as a Liverpool fan, was not as concerned about this group, but you seem to think it's going to be a three-way dogfight.
I'll tell you why. Because had this been Napoli of last season, I would have been, you know, pretty fine. I would have probably been feeling the same way that you are feeling now, thinking that, you know, Napoli in Europe, they're not really going to, you know, they're not really cut out for it. They're going to, you know, somehow manage to find a way to mess it up, etc. And it would be PSG and Liverpool all the way. But this time around, this is a Napoli with Carlo Ancelotti, a team with a bit more bite than probably what they had last season. Last season and the season before under Sarri, it was more a case of, you know, playing attractive, beautiful football. But there was a lack of substance and a lack of grit in that team, which is what Ancelotti has kind of been able to, you know, instill in this team. Best example, the opening two games, Napoli came from behind to beat both those teams, you know, to get 6 points. Fair enough, they lost to Sampdoria after that, which is still a question mark.
We're talking Serie A there, but so we'll see how the European equation plays out. In this equation, PSG probably have to be the trump card in the sense that they now have members of the French World Cup winning squad in there, which could be a dramatic difference in terms of the levels of confidence and the ambition, which they fell short of last year pretty woefully.
I agree, but the problem with PSG is, again, I mean, fair enough, they have all these world-class players, but I'm not seeing a particular system or a particular tactic which they use, which we know for a fact is a PSG way of playing, right? I mean, yes, fair enough, like I said, they have all these world-class players, but, you know, molding them into one cohesive unit is still not there. I mean, there are flashes of brilliance which each individual player shows.
Especially in Europe, where the margins are much thinner than the
absolutely
French league.
Which is why I actually kind of fancy Liverpool to finish top of this group, because let's not forget, they've been pretty active in the transfer window themselves. So, you know, I kind of fancy Liverpool to finish top in this group.
Right, we'll see how that plays out. This should be one of the tightest groups in there. Speaking of groups which are not that tight, Group D, we have Porto, Schalke, Lokomotiv Moscow and Galatasaray. Lokomotiv Moscow in this group, Karan, is the top seed. This is the group we called the
Europa League group,
which accidentally has fallen into the Champions League. But if you were to pick two teams from here to progress, you'd surely say Porto has to be one of them, given what they've done in recent times in the Champions League.
I agree. Yeah, I think Porto for me topped this group, and I'm going to go with Schalke here.
Schalke, just to edge it. Okay, we'll see if that happens. And then we have Group E, which is again, uncannily, like you said, Bayern Munich always tend to end up these groups. Bayern, Benfica, Ajax and AEK Athens. Seems pretty straightforward stuff.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. Benfica and Ajax are definitely going through here.
Bayern don't even have to travel much.
All joking aside. But I think, yeah, Bayern definitely top this group. The interesting scenario will be who kind of finishes second, and my money is going to be on Benfica here to finish. So both the teams with whose name starts with B to kind of make it to the round of 16.
And the teams whose name starts with A are not fairly neatly arranged alphabetical group. Getting into Group F, another relatively straightforward one. It's Manchester City, Hoffenheim, Olympique Lyon and Shakhtar Donetsk. Again, City have far too much pedigree not to top this group.
True. I mean, I can't believe we're actually talking about Manchester City and pedigree, but but yeah, I think
currently.
But yeah, I think it's a pretty straightforward group for City. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they go 6-for-6 in this group, because they have it in them to pull that off. It'll be interesting to see kind of who follows them, and I mean, the second place is going to be pretty closely fought, but I kind of have a feeling, again, going by recent seasons, would be Shakhtar to kind of, you know, just edge it over Hoffenheim and Lyon.
Right, let's see if that goes that way. Speaking of teams from Moscow, there are quite a few of them. Group G has one of them, CSKA, of course, but obviously that's not the headline name. The headline names are Real Madrid and last year's semi-finalists, Roma. I mean, the finalists and semi-finalists in the same group. And, of course, there is Plzen as well, who, of course, are just making up the numbers, surely, in a group that has, again, the moral arc of European championships might be long, but the Champions League's moral arc always bends towards Real Madrid.
Pretty much.
Surely.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they're definitely topping this group. I would ideally say Roma to kind of make it, but I'm kind of having having second thoughts on, because Roma haven't had the best of starts to the season, to be honest. Lost a few players. Made a few signings, but nothing, you know, which you can say has kind of replaced the kind of talent that they've lost. So I think it's going to be kind of closely fought between CSK and Roma, and we know it's not easy visiting Moscow
in
December.
It's probably going to come down to that Roma versus CSK game in Moscow, which might be the pivotal one that decides what happens for the second place in this group. And of course, the last group, Karan.
Oh boy.
The one that has the highest density of soccer sense teams, because it has Juventus, Valencia, Manchester United, and Young Boys. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a three-way Mexican standoff between Juventus, Man United, and Valencia, given what you've seen of them.
True.
Karan, your take, is it going to be a Mexican standoff Wild Wild West style, or is it going to be a Mexican standoff with water guns?
I think it has potential for both, to be honest, because all three teams are capable of absolute brilliance on one day, and like you said, a watered down version of a standoff the next day. Ideally, you would say that the smart money would be on Juventus to kind of, you know, make it through as group toppers.
Far too much quality, including Ronaldo, of course.
Absolutely. But it again depends on the kind of tactics that Allegri is prepared to use. If he's willing to kind of, you know, unshackle the attacking third of the team and allow them to kind of, you know, play to their strengths, I don't think anybody can stop them. But a lot of times their biggest hurdle is themselves. It's their own tactics which backfire on them. It's going to be critical in many ways for Juventus to see how many points they can gain away from home, because it is possible. I mean, I'm not counting the fixtures against Young Boys, though there are going to be some really, really hilarious trolls coming up after that. But I think
it's a family podcast.
But I think the key is for all three teams to start well in this group, because you don't want to be left behind.
And the way you were describing tactics and the team being their own worst enemy in terms of not unshackling their attack mindedness, we could easily edit that for
Man United. And there's no question about it. It could literally be the tactical nuances that Juventus use at times, or lack of it. We could literally replace that with Manchester United, and it would sit perfectly.
Jose Mourinho's relative experience in terms of European fixtures is probably going to come to the fore.
Absolutely.
And Valencia will then have to really earn their stripes if they want to break through this group, because they will have to leave either one of Juventus or Manchester United behind.
Sure. For all you know, for Valencia to qualify, it might come down to their results either in Turin or Old Trafford as well. So,
huge.
Yeah, I really feel that, because I do fancy teams to kind of do well over here at home, but the key is how well out of these three teams, who does the best away from home. And I'm not talking about who's able to beat Young Boys with the highest goal margin.
Speaking of Young Boys, will of course face up against Man United to begin that particular group. And Valencia will be entertaining Juventus at home. Pretty much a must win for them, really.
Yeah.
So that's how it sets up. Intriguing season, and of course our European correspondent will keep us informed as we go along. This season we'll be bringing you the first round wrap after the first two sets of games happen over the next couple of weeks from the Champions League. And in the meantime, Vishal and I will be bringing you the Premier League wrap, where a lot has been happening as well. For now, I'll just say Liverpool have made the best start they have ever made in the Premier League, and only the third time in their history in the first division that they've opened with five wins. So let's see where that takes us. In the meantime, Karan, hoping Ronaldo opens his account soon.
Pretty much, yeah. hoping for that.
But of course, it's business as usual so far in this area. And we'll be bringing you news from all over there. You can find us on Twitter at SendSoccer. You can find us on Audioboom and subscribe to our channel, audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense, or subscribe to us on any of the other podcasting platforms that we use. In the meantime, that's all the time we have for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with our European correspondent.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.